It's not a Monday, but we're always happy to catch up with Mike Grimm whenever he's got time. Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network, sports director, of course, the voice of Golden Gopher men's basketball and Gophers football, joins us here on KETE. And Mike, a good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Good to chat with you. And yeah, we missed Monday with the holiday, and then we're glad to be on here today.
Yeah, let's talk right off the bat. We were hoping to hear from you later tonight, Minnesota Golden Gopher men's basketball against Penn State. That game has been postponed because, like so many other teams that have been affected by COVID, now COVID has affected the Minnesota Golden Gopher men's basketball team. And I think I read right now there's less than 7 scholarship players that are available to play for Minnesota, and that's why they had to postpone the game.
Yeah, that's the Big Ten standard, is you need at least one coach and 7 scholarship players. And the Gophers are already a little short on scholarship players to begin with, because, you know, 2 of them are out for the year, and Parker Fox and Isaiah Heenan. And then you got Eric Curry, who's unavailable. And then you throw in the COVID situation, and it doesn't take many positives to get you to under that 7 threshold. And that apparently is what happened. They were right at 7 for the Iowa game because Sean Sutherland was out, and so was Danny Ogele. There were also a couple of walk-ons who were out, but they don't count in that calculation. So I think they got another 1 or 2 positives on Monday testing, and now they will need to test again tomorrow to determine if they can do the game on Saturday, which is home against Rutgers. I think they're feeling all right about that game because – the team is vaxxed and boosted, and so the guidelines are, if you are at where you don't have symptoms, it's basically then 5 days after you tested positive. So I think they feel good. They'll get a couple of guys back for Saturday, and now they're keeping their fingers crossed that there are no more positives, but that certainly is no guarantee at this point.
Now, Mike, we should mention that it's not all COVID cases. There are a lot of injuries that are also involved that are keeping the Gophers under that 7 scholarship players, I guess, available. So it's not like there's tons of COVID going through the program. There's other reasons why there's guys out.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I'm not sure what the protocol or what the Big Ten guideline is in relation to that. I think it's 7 available players. And so, you know, when you have 3 out with injury and you already don't have the full allotment of 13 scholarship players, it doesn't take many positives to wind down. I believe there were 3 players positive for the Iowa game that missed and 2 assistant coaches, and they were at the 7 scholarships. So they must have had another 1 or 2 positives when they retested on Monday. And, you know, we'll see what happens when they retest again. Like I said, I believe they test again tomorrow, but I don't know that for sure. I mean, they will certainly test before the Rutgers game, and I believe that will come tomorrow.
And again, that game is scheduled for Saturday. Hopefully the Gophers can get back on the court. If they can, we'll have that game for you on Saturday right here on KATE. Now, going back to the last game on Sunday, Iowa, a pretty good team coming to the barn. They took control early in this one, but hats off to our Gophers. And one thing, Mike, we're learning real quick when it comes to a Ben Johnson coach squad, there is no quit. There is no give up. The team was able to cut the lead down to 3 late before Iowa, I think, won by 10 points on Sunday. Again, when you put yourself in a big hole, it's always tough to scramble back, but we have to give a lot of credit to the guys on Sunday. They never gave up, and they gave Iowa a pretty good battle there at the end.
Certainly made them nervous, you know, after having the big lead and, you know, playing shorthanded and all of that. There's no doubt that was a fun thing to see them fight hard and rally back. And, you know, I think you and I talked about this even before the season started, that, you know, we all knew that this team was going to, you know, have some issues just from a depth standpoint. And quite frankly, you know, when you're comparing it to the top end of the conference of Purdue and Illinois, that, you know, the talent gap is there. There's no doubt about that as Ben Johnson tries to build this program. And if you remember me talking that, you know, you know me, I always think that that we have a unique sports market, I guess is how I'd call it here in Minnesota, and that, you know, we don't enjoy winning enough. We're always complaining about when our teams win. But I also remember saying, I think it was to you, it was to several different people, my belief was that even if this team doesn't win a lot of games, I think if Ben Johnson's goal has got to be to try to get them to play hard, tough, something you can embrace. And in our kind of weird own little world of a sports market, sometimes those teams get embraced better. And I think that's been the case up to now. Now, look, if they end up losing, you know, they go on a 10-game losing streak, that's going to get old. So they need to start winning a few games. They've lost four straight. But they play the right way. As you mentioned, they play tough. I was leaving the arena on Saturday. I had some family members go to the game, so I was waiting for them in the lobby. And I was just kind of observing, just kind of standing off to the side. And people were leaving the arena not ticked off. And I'm not saying that that's good. I'm not saying that, hey, you want to get used to losing. But I do think that there are people who are, they understand kind of the situation the program's in, that it's a build, that Ben Johnson, like you said, is, you know, his teams aren't going to quit, and he's instilling a process and a culture with which there's a standard to live up to in terms of effort, intensity, and all that. And I don't say I was taken aback, but I definitely, in my observation, again, it's just anecdotal, and maybe what my perception is not reality. I've been told that before. But I just got the sense that people were not, despondent about losing that game, but they were more satisfied with the way this team has played. And look, eventually, at some point, the wins will have to come. But I think people are enjoying and embracing the idea of what this identity will be for this program moving forward.
Absolutely. Mike Grimm, voice of Gopher men's basketball and football, sports director at the Minnesota News Network, joining us here on Kate. And let's talk about some football. How much of football did you get to enjoy over the wild, super wild card weekend? Days of football, 7 games. How many did you watch?
Let's see. I bet I watched pieces of just about every game. I don't know if I watched any single game from kickoff to final horn, but I definitely was able to watch a few. I guess I didn't get to see the Buccaneers and Eagles because that was during the Iowa-Minnesota game, so I was I was a little busy at that point. I will say, though, my engineer, Dan Robotham, did call that game up on his cell phone, and I guess the Iowa-Minnesota game was boring enough, and our radio call was boring enough to our engineer that he was watching football while he was engineering our basketball game. But, weird enough, there weren't very many intriguing games, right? The Oakland, I should call it Oakland, I guess it's Vegas, and Cincinnati kind of was a close one, and there was some controversy with that inadvertent whistle, which I was watching that live, and I'm like, hey, man, there was a whistle there. My father-in-law was there. He and I were watching the game, and he said he didn't hear the whistle, and I'm like, no, I'm telling you, man, there was a whistle. And usually by rule, that means the play is dead. And I've seen a lot of people say it had no impact on the play, but I don't know, man. Watch that. I think it was number 24. I don't know the names of the guys, but the defensive back, he absolutely stopped running when he heard the whistle. It was a factor. So to have that touchdown count, now who knows what would have happened. I think it's a replay. They just say, hey, sorry, like you're out on recess, and say, hey, we got to redo it. So the main controversy, that, and then Dak Prescott deciding, he and the coaches decided that with no timeouts and the clock winding down, let's do a quarterback draw in a unique way and let the clock wind down and not do the process the way we should do it. So those two things stood out to me. Other than that, pretty uneventful weekend, some blowouts, not really anything intriguing from, of any buzzer beaters or anything like that. What was your impression?
You know, my one, going back to the Dallas game, and I think the Cowboys are one of those teams, either a love America's team or you're on the opposite end, which I'm on the opposite end when it comes to Dallas. And I think it's funny when fans and even a team kind of goes a little bit crazy over things that happen at the end. I mean, I don't agree with the quarterback keeper. I think it's very funny that they're upset that the referee had to grab the ball to set it, and that they ran out of time. Chances of scoring a touchdown from there with 1 second to go is pretty slim to none to begin with.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, don't fall behind by 2+ touchdowns early in the game. Play better football, and then you never put yourself in that position. So as a, I don't want to call myself an anti-Cowboy fan, but I didn't mind seeing the Cowboys lose. And I think it was ridiculous the way that they reacted, their fans reacted to the way that game ended.
Yeah, Yeah, I agree. And I thought the ref, and you know me, if anyone's listened, they know that I would not be shy about saying if I felt an official messed something up. I tell you, I thought he handled it about as perfectly as you could. He played that. He sprinted down the field. I'm sure he was, as he was sprinting, going, what in the world are the Cowboys doing? This is the dumbest play in the history of the NFL, but all right, I'll do what I got to do. Sprints down the field, top speed. The center for the Cowboys, in fact, if anything, he helped the Cowboys by giving them about 2.5 yards, because if he really wanted to, if you really watch the replay and you know the mechanics of how officials operate, that I don't know if it was the side judge or the line judge, they flip sides at halftime, but whoever it was on the opposite side of where the TV camera was spotting that ball at about the 26-yard line, if memory serves me correct. The Cowboys set it down at about the 23.5. And so really the umpire's job is to pick that ball up and spot it back where the side judge or the line judge was spotting it, which would have been at least 2 yards back. Well, he was trying to speed it up, so he set it back about, what, 8 inches maybe?
Yeah.
And still they couldn't get it off. So I thought the ref handled it mechanically perfectly. Like, what are we complaining about the officiating? I saw people say, well, he tried to set it there twice, and I'm sure going through his mind is, look, we're giving the Cowboys 2 yards here. You know, because remember, when you slide feet first, as he did, it's where the start of the slide is where the spot goes. And so it's not, and then he split a yard or two past it, so it's not where he ends, it's where he starts. And it's not where the knee hits, it's where the slide starts. So I thought the official in that play did it exactly by the book, exactly mechanically correct. And you're right, to be complaining about that particular situation when the guy handled it exactly. Like, look, you got to practice that. And I watch Gopher practice, and I'm not comparing it, because in college that clock would have stopped. And in college, it's probably a really nice call because the clock stops to get the chain set. But in the NFL, you don't stop the clock, you know. And I think generally on a play like that, you'd want about 20 seconds. And I think they snapped it with, what, 14?
Yeah.
And that was way too tight, just way too tight. And then on top of it, the Cowboys didn't handle it right. They should, instead of setting the ball down, they should be handing the ball to the umpire. So that he can look and see where the spot is from the side judge or the line judge, and set the ball down and go from there. So yeah, it was ridiculous. And like you said, even if they clock it with 1 second, your win percentage is probably still only at about, you know, what, 3%, maybe 5%. I don't know. I thought strategically the better play, because they went from where, about the 40-yard line to about the 25. I thought strategically with whatever time they had, they're better off taking 2 shots from the end zone at the 40, even if they're Hail Marys, than eliminating a play altogether just to
Correct.
Get 15 yards closer. That was my thought. I mean, you could throw an interception and be over 2 on that first play, but give yourself 2 cracks at it, because it's not like they're at their own 40. From the 40, you could throw into the end zone and get a couple plays. But anyway, what do we know? The Cowboys lost the game. And I'm the opposite, Aaron. I grew up a diehard Cowboy fan. So Roger Staubach was my guy going back to when I was, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Captain Comeback was my guy. I've been to the Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio once, and I took one picture, and that was next to the Roger Staubach bust. Now, and I know that Vikings fans probably are a little irritated to hear that, because you know the pain that Roger the Dodger inflicted on the Vikings over the years. That said, I couldn't care less about the Cowboys now. I have no affinity whatsoever. I lost interest when I got into probably into high school, and then when I got into college, I just kind of started following players that I liked in college, because as you might guess, I'm a much bigger college football fan. And so Kurt Warner, who, one I covered in St. Louis, but before that I actually competed against him, and we were in the same conference in basketball and baseball. So I followed him kind of like the Rams at that point back when I was a young man. And I, by the way, we had that long trip where we went from Indiana to Michigan State. And so we had some time in between the games. We were in East Lansing for an extra couple of days. And I went and watched that Kurt Warner movie. And I took in a $5 matinee in East Lansing. That's what it cost to go watch a movie there, which was great. And I watched The American Underdog, which is the movie out on Kurt Warner's life. I thought it was pretty good. If you're a football fan, and it was funny because the aforementioned Dan Robotham, our engineer, he and I went to it. And we got done, and Dan said, he's like, man, I thought that movie was a little too schmaltzy for me. It was a little too, and I'm like, well, that's the story. I mean, remember, this is like 20 years ago now, but remember as the story was unfolding in real life, people always would say, well, if this were a movie script, they'd reject it because it's so unrealistic that some dude bagging groceries in Cedar Falls, Iowa would end up winning the MVP. And they'd reject that movie screen. So when it actually did become a movie because it really happened, of course it's going to seem a little schmaltzy, right? So it was a cute movie. It was, there's some inspiration there in drawing because there's so many more things that were going on in his life than just football throughout some of that. But anyway, I digress, but I was going to offer, as long as we're on the phone, I might as well offer up a movie review while we're at it.
Absolutely. It's on my list of a couple of movies I want to go see. That one in Spider-Man, but I will go see the Kurt Warner film sometime soon. Mike Grimm. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, the one thing that bugged me, and it probably I'm the only guy that bugged me about the movie, because I was very familiar with the story, as I mentioned. Warner and I are the same age. We grew up, 50 miles apart. Now, he doesn't know me. I obviously know him. And I did cover him for 5 years in St. Louis, or I guess it would be 4 years in St. Louis before he got traded to the Giants. But growing up with that being around, everyone around there where I grew up knows that Northern Iowa, where he played college football, plays in the Unidome, indoor. In the movie, they created a Northern Iowa home field, and all the games were outside. And so that bugged me because I knew the real story. So, they had to take a few liberties, I suppose, with expenses or, aesthetics or whatever. But I leaned over to Dan. I'm like, this isn't true. This is wrong. They're not in a dome. But anyway, other than that, it was great. But that bugged me.
Mr. Movies, Mike Grimm, here on KATE, giving us his review. I love it. Now, Mike, before I let you go, I don't know how close you're paying attention to the Vikings' search for a new general manager and a head coach. Again, the Vikings keep releasing statements that we met with this person, we met with this coach. Is this something you think is still going to take maybe a couple of weeks? Are we going to have to wait until maybe we get close to the Super Bowl before the Vikings start making announcements on hirings? What's your take on what's going on?
Yeah, hard to say. You never know with these. About the time you think it's going to take forever, you get a news release that says there's a news conference tomorrow or whatever. Even like, I'm a little closer to say like even the Gopher situation. We thought it would take longer, and then all of a sudden, I get tipped off that, they're going to announce tomorrow, March decided on the basketball coach. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. So sometimes you think it's going to take longer and it doesn't, and sometimes you think it'll be a snap of the fingers and it isn't. In this case, as you mentioned, there's still some teams involved in the postseason that maybe they want to talk to coaching candidates. Maybe they want to talk to people from their front offices. I know they are conducting interviews. I did find it a little interesting because Mark Wilk and that news conference back when they announced the firing said that they were going to hire a general manager first, which makes sense. You don't want to hire a coach, I don't think, first, and then go based on that, hire the GM. But right now it appears that the team is conducting interviews or setting interviews up, at least, for both jobs. I thought they would fill the GM job and then start scheduling coaching interviews, but there's probably a few candidates out there who are getting a little antsy and are saying, look, I've got maybe some opportunities elsewhere. I'm not going to wait around forever, on both fronts, because you're looking at how many GM openings are there. There's at least two others. I know the Bears are looking. The Raiders are looking. I don't know. The Giants, I think, are looking. And they're also all looking for head coaches as well. So if there's a candidate you like, if you're the Wills, do you want to wait around for fear that they might get taken? And remember that I believe the story goes that they got Childress before he could interview. Was it with the Packers, maybe? I want to say, because that was the guy they liked back in there. That would have been their first hire, I suppose, as team owners. But so there does become a situation where you don't want to wait too long because maybe your top two or three candidates are getting looked at by other teams. So I think they're probably in kind of the middle stages here, but I think they should do a GM first. And then based on his or her, because they have interviewed a female in that position, whoever they hire, based on that, then you go from there with a coach that might fit the way the GM thinks.
Mike Grimm, Minnesota News Network sports director, the voice of Gopher men's basketball and football. And we hope to hear from a Mike coming up on Saturday when the Gophers take on Rutgers. Again, we need some guys to come out of the COVID-19 protocol for that game to happen on Saturday. If it happens, of course, all the action right here on Kate. Mike, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the rest of your week and hopefully hear from you on the broadcast on Saturday. And we'll talk next Monday.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate it. Always enjoy it, Aaron. Thank you.